I'd like to begin tonight by asking us a question. Why do we read the Bible? Well, I think I can answer the question for us all here this evening. We read it because we believe that it is our daily bread. We believe that when we read the Bible, it nourishes our souls, it strengthens our spirit, and it guides our lives into the very will of God. If you are a Christian, then you have a hungering, you have a thirsting for the Word of God. Like Job, a Christian esteems the Word of God more than necessary food. To appropriate or to digest the Word of God is to receive and believe it by faith so as to live in obedience. The Word of God always has the final say on any particular subject and on any particular matter concerning our lives. It is a means of grace for our lives. As light, it drives our darkest fears away. As our authority, it establishes our assurance. As a law, it judges our sin. And because it is written upon our hearts, it pricks our consciences. The Bible is not like any other reading material that our eyes have fastened to. The Word of God says specifically in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it states that the Bible is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. When it says that it's quick and powerful, Paul is saying it's alive. This book is breathing. This book has the ability to divide those who refuse it with those who obey it. It has the ability to discern the motives that are hidden in the heart of all of us. And it is directed to the day in which we live. So often we hear, oh, the Bible is not relevant for the day in which we live. But it is. It's a universal book. It has a universal message, and it's certainly apropos for the time in which we live today. Though the Word of God was written centuries ago, it can still impact our lives. It's a living, it's a breathing document, and it's not a dead letter, as some would say to be. Every word of God is important because it reveals to us the majesty of Christ's person, the glory of His grace, and the preciousness of His Son. Without the Word of God, we are like a ship without a rudder. We're like a map without a compass. Let me ask another question this evening. How then do we regard the Bible? Do we, like Joshua, that if we meditate upon it day and night and observe to do according to all that is written therein, that our way will be prosperous and that we will have good success? You know, the reformer Martin Luther, he proved his regard of Scripture by his knowledge of it. He said, I read that during his earthly ministry, he said that he could instantly find the book and chapter of any verse that was quoted to him. We have a minister in the Free Presbyterian Church in Northern Ireland. His name is Dr. Douglas, and the same is true of him. It said if you just ask him any verse, he can tell you the chapter. He can tell you what book it's in. It was said of John Bunyan, who wrote that allegory I mentioned this morning. It said, if you prick him anywhere with a pin, he'll bleed Scripture. He knew the Scripture so well. What is our attitude toward the Scriptures? Do we say, like the psalmist, that we love thy law? Do we treasure the Word of God more than gold and silver? When a Christian is in a powerless and declining condition, 9 times out of 10, the cause will be linked to an absence of an intimate and deep knowledge of the Word of God. With that said, I would like for us to place the same honor on the Scriptures that Christ had on them. In verse 39, our Lord said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me." The Scripture which our Lord was referring to is the Old Testament. And by His own words, Christ is saying that every part of the Bible is meant to teach us about Himself. Again, I appeal to J.C. Ryle, and I will do the same again tonight. J.C. Ryle said, "Christ is not merely in the Gospels and the Epistles. Christ is to be found directly and indirectly in the Law, the Psalms, and the Prophets, in the promises to Adam, Abraham, Moses, and David, in the types and emblems of the ceremonial law, in the predictions of Isaiah and the other prophets. Jesus is everywhere to be found in the Bible." How is it then that men see so little of Christ every day? The answer is simply, they do not search the Scriptures. Ryle goes on to say that they do not dig into that wondrous mine of wisdom and knowledge and seek to become acquainted with its contents. Similar, regular reading of the Scriptures is the grand secret of establishment in the faith. Just picking up our Bible daily, whether we're reading a verse, a chapter, or a book, there is great encouragement and benefit for our souls. Therefore, this evening I would like to convince or reconvince you of your need to search the Scriptures. You know, the need is great for three reasons. And I'll give you the outline here, because the lack of Scripture knowledge is really harmful to the soul. It's every man's duty to find out what the Bible says, whether you're young or old. And then all Scripture declares the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me begin, first of all, by saying that everyone must recognize that a lack of knowledge of the Scripture is harmful to the soul. You know, one man said, you know, ignorance of Scripture is a soul-destroying thing. I'm sure we're familiar with the cliche, ignorance is bliss. But with regards to the Scripture, there is absolutely no enjoyment of God without knowing the Bible. Again, I think we are familiar with the saying, no news is good news. And that may be all right in some circumstances. But it does not apply to man's spiritual condition. Without the good news, because the gospel is good news, men are without Christ, without hope, and without God in the world. You know, a person will never be convinced to search the Scriptures until he is impressed with his danger, or with the danger of not knowing what they reveal. Hosea, the prophet, writes in chapter 4 and verse 6, and he illustrates my point, saying, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Matthew Henry, he goes on to add his comment, and he says, "Those that rebel against the light can no other than perish in the dark." Proverbs 19 and verse 2 states, "The soul, we know, made for God, that is, without knowledge, it is not good." The blessing of knowledge from the Scripture is not that it expands the mind or restrains the evil, but spiritual understanding and eternal life. Compare John chapter 17 and verse 3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ." I like to read a commentator by the name of Charles Bridges. He actually did a commentary, a very good commentary on the Proverbs. And he is a leader, or was a leader, in the Church of England in the 19th century. And he made this comment as well. He says, a man who lives in ignorance to the Scripture knows nothing of scriptural duties, heavenly affections, the life of faith, the entire surrendered heart, or the living to the glory of God. Ignorance of the Scriptures makes a man the target of divine wrath. Again, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 that Christ shall come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. And then mark these words, that know not the gospel. Eusebius was one of the bishops who was present at the Council of Nicaea, and he wrote ecclesiastical history and said that the Apostle John feared a lack of knowledge of the Scripture so much so that he refused to enter a building when he learned that a certain heretic was inside. John said, let us depart, lest the house wherein the Lord's enemy is should fall on our heads. Do you remember there in the New Testament? Do you remember when the Sadducees came to the Lord Jesus Christ? And they tried to always trip him up. And they put to him a question. And they said, whose wife should this woman be in the next life? Do you remember she had seven husbands in this life? Our Lord, he said to them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures. No, Christ knew that they were not concerned about the woman. Rather, they were trying to bring him into contempt concerning the doctrine of the resurrection. Had the Sadducees known their Bible, they would have known that the resurrection is clearly revealed in the Old Testament. And if you want to take these references down, you may. Job chapter 19 and verses 26 and 27. You remember Job says, I know that my Redeemer lived. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, Isaiah chapter 26, 16 to 19, and then Psalm 16 and verse 10. It states there that the Holy One will not see corruption. In many respects, ignorance of the Word of God is the fountainhead from where all error spreads through the church. I read a very good quote by Helen Keller. I'm sure most of you know who Helen Keller is. She made a very astute observation saying, the heresy of one generation is the orthodoxy or the truth of the next. So as I thought about her quote, you know, how important it is that the next generation, and I want to speak directly to our young people on this one. You know, how important it is that the next generation has a greater working knowledge of the Scriptures. Young people, and I don't want to single you out, but I'm going to for a second if you don't mind. We love you dearly. We love you so much, and we want to see you excel us spiritually. And we want you to have a working knowledge of this book. For this book speaks of Christ. This book is our rule for faith and practice. This book gives instruction to your soul. And it's our desire that our young people have a good working knowledge of this book. If you can, and that would be great, if you can memorize the whole New Testament or the Old Testament, that would be great. And I'll love to hear you recite the words too. How important it is that then we as adults and as a new parent that we teach our children the Scriptures. We just started teaching David the little child's catechism. I love the catechism. Who made you? I got his attention. God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verse 15, we learn the method and the principles of education in Israel. It simply says, thou from a child hast known the Holy Scriptures. And so Israel's method in education was to teach not just the adults, but to teach the children. You remember there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and the verse said, God said, teach these words diligently unto thy children. I did some research and I found out that a research was conducted that of the 51 million children under the age of 18 living in the United States, more than 40 million of them do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I think in all that we have considered in this point, Spurgeon summarizes it best saying, ignorance then is the enemy of faith. Again, young people, if I can just single you out, do not be ignorant of the Scriptures. Learn your Bibles, know your Bibles, so that ye may have eternal life. You know, if we really esteem and greatly value the Scripture, then we will read it, we'll obey it, and we'll even spread it. When we realize what a treasure the Bible is, we will not rest while there are those around us who lie in ignorance of its message. I read that during the reign of Henry VIII, when owning the Bible meant that you were burnt at the stake, there was a farmer, a peasant, a serf. He gave a whole cartload of hay for one page of the Bible. I'd like to know what that one page was. Archibald Naismith, who had invested over 40 years in his life in India as a Christian teacher, he recalls a time when his family returned to Great Britain for a long vacation. And he said that one of his sons, about the age of 6 or 7 years old, was at school for the first time in England. And one day the boy came home and reported that he had to write a short essay on the topic, My Greatest Treasure. When the little boy brought his paper home to show his mommy and his daddy, they were thrilled to read his opening sentence. My greatest treasure is not my Game Boy. It's not my bike. My greatest treasure is my Holy Bible. The testimony of this young boy should be the testimony of every child of God. You know, it's easy to say that we value the Bible, that we esteem it better than our daily food, while mostly ignoring what it says. This leads me to my next point that I want to share with you, and that is, it's every man's duty to diligently search the Scriptures. You know, the word search in our text here simply means search minutely, search closely, search diligently. In our verse, Christ was stressing to the Jews that they should not be content with just reading, but actually they're to do the spade work. I was always told in seminary, do the spade work, do the digging. You know, no Scripture, as we learn, is of any private interpretation. It did not originate with man. I know that men were used, that the Lord used the characteristics of each man, and that He wrote in them and through them the Word of God. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And there's a reason that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Because the Spirit of God broods in the book as He goes from page to page, it immediately attests to each Spirit-filled heart as being the oracles of God. You know, do you ever come to the Bible, whether in the morning, in the afternoon, or the evening, and you're asking the Lord, show me a word, and you're in your daily reading, and you just read, and all of a sudden it seems like a verse just comes out 3D to you. And it just jumps off the page. Whether it's a promise or something else, and it just speaks to your heart, and there's a testimony of the Spirit of the book to the Spirit that's in your heart. And you are convinced, you feel so led of the Lord, that this is the Word for you. You know, as we study the Scriptures, the Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Because the Spirit moves and broods in this book, it has the ability to comfort. It has the ability to direct. As I said earlier, it can guide us into the very will of God. I remember when we were contemplating to move out here, specifically in Ezekiel chapter 12. I read the words that said, prepare thy stuff for renewal. And I couldn't shake those words. And I believe with all my heart the Lord was preparing me to leave where I was to come out here. You know, why is there a need to search the Scriptures? Well, it's because we know sin removed from man any saving knowledge of God. We read there in Romans chapter 3 and verse 11. It says, there is none that understandeth or seeketh after God. All men are without excuse for their ignorant and for their sinful condition. But thankfully, Scripture reveals God's plan of redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, because of that great truth, all Christians have a desire to know God and to search the Scriptures continually. Throughout history, men have spent many hours in the Word of God. I read an editor for a Christian magazine, and they said, who can doubt that the 17th century Puritans were the greatest searchers, expositors, and preachers of God's Word our land has ever seen? New England Puritans in the early 1600s, like John Winthrop, Thomas Hooker, Increase Mather, he was the son-in-law to John Cotton, who was a minister, and who had such a conviction for Scripture that he rose and studied the Scripture 12 hours a day. And he said, 12 hours a day, that's a scholar's day. You know, when we consider the Scriptures, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bereans were commended for their earnest study. It says that they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind. You know, day by day, the Bereans, they examined the Scriptures to see the teachings of Paul and Silas were in keeping with the Word of God. The Bereans teach that a love for God's Word drives men to study it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, we read that the prophets received God's Word, but did not always understand what the prophecies meant. And they did not shrug their shoulders, and when they failed to understand, instead they carefully and diligently researched to know what God's Word meant. Prophets teach us that we are to take the task of searching the Scripture seriously. You know, the Scripture, as I already said, is our perfect rule for faith and practice. We must learn to judge all things according to this book. The Bible, as we know, as the Word of God says, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And by it we measure preaching, we measure teaching, and we even measure doctrine. We are called to walk in the light. We must learn, we must live, and we must love then the Scriptures. Dr. Cairns, my pastor, once said, if it's biblical, believe it or do it. If it's not, shun it as you would shun the devil. You know, I realize that there are some dark and very cryptic passages of Scripture, and you get into Ezekiel, you read Daniel, you get into the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, and it's hard to read. Sometimes it's even not so edifying when you're going through all the genealogies. This person begat this person, and this person begat this person. You wonder why the Lord just didn't say, okay, just kind of summarize it for us. But apart from them, the Bible is pretty clear, is it not? For God speaks to us in simple terms. You know, God does not hide His will, as it were, behind His back and then tells us to guess which arm it's in. God is the best communicator. And He clearly has revealed to us what He wants us to know. I'm sure God knows much more than what He has given to us in this book. But God has communicated to us, He has revealed to us His will and His word, and He wants us to enjoy it, He wants us to assimilate it, He wants us to be washed by it. It was that reason the reformers in the 16th century taught what is called the perspicuity of Scripture. Anyone who is guided by the Holy Ghost is able to read and understand it, because for the most part the basic message of the Bible is clear. The Bible is still the bestseller, and yet only 41% read their Bibles outside of the worship service. D.L. Moody said, I never saw a useful Christian who was not a student of the Bible. You know, Bible studies are not for the elite Christian. They're not for the minister or for the pastor or for the missionary. The Bible is an open book that tells us about the riches of God's salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We are to study the Scriptures because they are able to make us wise unto salvation. So that leads me then thirdly to say, all Scripture then declares the Lord of our salvation. It declares Christ. You know, if there is any final chord of appeal that would convince us to search the Scriptures, it would have to be this part of the verse. Again, our Lord says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The Jewish scholars of Christ's day believed that the mere studying of Scripture would bring them life. By doing so, they missed really the chief subject of the Old Testament revelation. When our Lord made the strong declaration that the Scripture, specifically the Old Testament, that they testified of Him, He was declaring that the law, the prophets, and the writings all witnessed to His person and to all of His claims. You remember what He says there in Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. I was yet with you that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. In John chapter 5, we read that Christ rebuked His hearers for their inconsistency in studying the Scriptures so diligently, while at the same time rejecting Christ Himself. You know, they were spiritually unable to make the connection, as it were, of the Scriptures and of the Savior. You know, the Word of God predicts His coming, and it tells us about the manner of His life, His ministry, and then His death. The Bible. 66 books. The first five books, we call that the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And in these books, we learn that Christ is the perfect priest who must stand between God and men. And as the perfect sacrifice, He is for sin. You know, the whole ritual sacrifice that you read, and I'm sure our young people are learning to appreciate this as they're going through the tabernacle, and the ceremonies of the law were types and shadows of His atoning work. All of it pointed forward. You have the historical books. How many historical books are there? There are 12. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. And these books, as you go through them, they teach us that Christ is not the perfect priest, but the perfect king. And it tells us how He will subdue His enemies and our enemies unto Himself. After the historical books, we read 17 major prophets. You have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Then you have the minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. And we learn that Christ is the perfect prophet who represents and who reveals God to men. The prophets plainly foretold Him, His person, His work, and the glory of His kingdom, His sufferings and His death. And then we have the poetical books. The Psalms, Song of Solomon, Proverbs, Job, and Ecclesiastes. Christ here is the perfect theme of praise and worship. Philip, you remember, encountered the Ethiopian eunuch, and he illustrates that when Christ is found, He opens the understanding of the Old Testament message. You remember there in Acts chapter 8 and verses 27 to 39, Philip met the eunuch in the desert of all places and read Isaiah 53. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now as we close, let me just remind you that we must search the Scriptures. The Word of God will repay our searching. The Scriptures reveal Jesus. They are they which testify of Me. You know, no more, as I said, powerful motive can be urged upon us here this evening than this. He who finds Jesus in the book finds life everlasting. Happy is the man, blessed is the man, who has taken this word and who has placed it within the heart. I remember when I was in San Diego as a new convert, we had a visiting minister in for 3 months by the name of Wesley Irwin. And I remember him teaching me the verse of Scripture in Psalm 119 and verse 11. And I remember as a new convert, just to remember that short portion of Scripture took me forever. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against. Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify